with WKGN. 1-3-4-0.
Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios in Knoxville, it's the morning show on Fan Run Radio. Here are your hosts, John Reed and Bob Baskerville.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios on this Tuesday, rainy Tuesday, April 30th, the final day of April showers. Congrats, everybody. It's fitting. It's poetic. The final day of April, a lot of April showers. You know what that brings tomorrow, Bob? Mayflowers. And you know what that brings, Sam, right?
June.
Pilgrims.
Nice.
You get it?
I do.
Mayflower?
Yeah.
Pilgrims?
Yeah.
Bob, top of the morning to you.
I'm supposed to be the one with the dad jokes, man. You always fire them.
You know? I just consider that good comedy there. I don't like to put things in a box. Dad joke, mom joke, whatever. I just like comedy. And that's just good old fashioned comedy right there.
Yeah. I'm doing good. We're going out with a bang for April, man. That's pretty gross outside, but looking ahead, tomorrow's gonna be beautiful. So just like you portended. April showers, gonna roll right into a beautiful first day of May. I'll take it.
Can't wait for the flowers to start blooming and my allergies to get even worse, because somehow my eyes are on fire already and it's raining outside. So between that and just another late night for me, the NBA's got me staying up too late. Back-to-back nights up past midnight. No nap yesterday. No nap on the horizon today. I'm a sweepy boy, a very sweepy boy. Sam, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I got a little bit more sleep than you, probably. I did not stay awake for the great ending of that game, which kind of woke up and was mad about, honestly. But I feel like I've grinded my way through March Madness and, you know, just some stuff after that to where I can't keep going to bed at like 1 o'clock for a sporting event. I gotta pack it up. I'm getting tired too.
I'm a sleepy boy. It would have been nice to have a game six. I was rooting for the Lakers, although shout out to LeBron over cha-ching. Shout out to the Lakers +7.
Nice.
Cha-ching. Thanks for nothing, Jamal Murray, you jerk. You stupid jerk. I don't believe these injury reports anymore. I feel like Wojnarowski was trying to move the line. Now that ESPN bet is such a thing, I feel like I can't trust these ESPN insiders. All of a sudden, they're starting to manipulate the line. They're trying to
calf injury to like put his line down. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what the motive was just yet, Sam. I haven't figured it out. All I know is they just kept saying calf injury, questionable. And me being a smart man was like, well, I don't think he'll play in game five. They got a 3-1 lead. Maybe, you know, take it a little bit easy. But no, he's like, I want to play. And he's out there drilling all these threes, including the game winner, another game winner for him. I feel bad for Anthony Davis. Just throughout the night, like every time Anthony Davis would get ISO'd on him, Jamal Murray would hit just some ridiculous shot and just dot his eye. He did it like 5 times. And then the game winner, you knew when he had the ball, there was no chance the Lakers were stopping him. And they didn't, as he hits the game winner and sends them home. A real thorn in the side of the Lakers. But I'm a sleepy boy. The rain's not helping, Bob.
No, I got to say, I saw when you pulled up, I was doing the same thing. Usually I have my little satchel in the back seat of my car, you know, and I had to pull everything up front because you don't have any time to waste in this kind of rain. You gotta like get out and in, and hate those moments.
Yeah, I had my bag. I'm trying to get up. I had the key to the door. I had to properly have ready to go. Although I will say, credit to me, I felt like a NASCAR pit crew chief.
Now you're
or at least maybe not a pit crew chief, but a pit crew worker, because I was on par with how quickly they changed those tires, Sam. The key went, got me by surprise, because my eyes are closed because they're so hurt right now. The key right into the door, nice. Right open. No fumbling around at all. And, you know, about as good of a transition as you could have. I backed into the parking spot. That way I didn't have the awkward moment where you try to get out and you have to get around the door.
That's a smart move, actually. I wondered why you were backed in.
Yeah, I backed in so that I could just out and then straight to the door. No going around for me. Every second counts in a rainstorm like this. So big, you know, there's a couple of unfortunate things for me. One, I have a white t-shirt on. Yep, them franchise boys. And two, I'm wearing slides and socks. So, like, wasn't really equipped for the rain. It's on me.
Was it raining when you left?
Yeah, I just don't actually ever check.
Yeah, yeah. I happened to check this morning. I was about to be a slides man myself.
Every now and then, I don't want to sound like I'm in middle school, but every now and then I just kind of lay some clothes out on the dresser just to have ready. That way I don't have to, like, go through my closet, because it is tough. Like, I know I'm joking, but, like, it does take me a while to, like, get my eyes working in the morning. So, like, I don't want to have to, like, go through the motions of what am I going to go in my closet and find. Mm-hmm. So, sometimes I lay it out, and this morning was one of those mornings. So, the white tee, you know, I don't know if I'm see-through, but you're welcome for the show, if so.
When I was pulling in, I think we're all pretty thankful that we don't have to open the gate at least now.
That is a win.
That would have been a big L.
You know what? That is true. And the walk to the studio is much further at the old studio.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a big mud puddle right there at the beginning.
Yeah.
Do you ever give that much thought at this point? Like
the old studio?
Yeah.
No. It's
that's the first time I've thought about it, was Sam mentioning it.
It is tough because, you know, unlike you two, I spent 8 years there.
Ugh.
Now, Sam, I know you at this point had what, a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah, I'm probably at about two right now.
Okay. So, like, you had some memories there.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, you were just, you know, a cup of tea.
Yeah, thankfully.
A cup of coffee.
Maybe that.
Yeah, just there for a couple months.
It's a go cup.
Cup of espresso.
Yeah.
Espresso shot.
But no, I don't actually ever think about it ever.
Yeah.
No nightmares. No PTSD.
I told you when my son was in town a few weeks ago, I drove him by there and he was like, whoa, that's all he said. It was a daylight too. I mean, it looks better in the day than at night. At night, it looks like it's pretty spooky.
Yeah. You mean to tell me, Dad, you went in there every day? You used to work at E Hollywood. You used to work for Howard Stern. You going to that building? E Hollywood, is that? That's dumb to say, right? What is it? Just ETV?
Yeah, E Network.
Yeah, E Network. I 0 for 2. Blame my eyes, Bob. I can't see right now.
It's okay. It's all right.
Allergies.
Actually, that network may go away here pretty soon. The way everything's getting fragmented, all these networks that aren't watched that much are starting to be under threat to go away.
Would that be one that could just do something like a la carte with another network, like get absorbed and like, hey, we're gonna send you to our mother network for the, you know, the red carpet? And
yeah.
I guess it's really, what else comes on E these days? The Soup, is The Soup still a thing?
No.
I used to love The Soup.
Yeah, they cultivate a lot of talent on that show over the years.
Joel McHale, what a guy.
Yeah, McHale. John Henson, before that, he was doing that show Wipeout on ABC.
Okay. I don't know if I remember him in the Soup era. I remember Joel McHale, though, for sure.
Yeah. I think it was still Talk Soup when Henson did it. They could actually be a really interesting digital service, but they're owned by NBC Universal. So, yeah, they could get folded into, you know, frankly, they could get folded in for those red carpet shows to Bravo or something, really.
Welcome to Peacock, buddy. You're going to be right next to the WWE Network and the NBA games.
Yep.
Hope you enjoy it. Okay. Anything fun last night, Sam?
I hit some golf balls. That's about it.
Nice.
Made some burgers. Pretty run-of-the-mill night.
Burgers and golf balls. You're living the dream, man.
Yeah.
There's some people there that feel real nostalgic about that. It's like, man, just grilling out with the boys. Did you grill them? What'd you do?
Yeah, I grilled them. Yeah, you got to when it's in this, that nice of weather.
So you got out actually on the grill?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Man, what a night for you. Any brewskis?
No.
Pop up any White Claws?
No.
Okay.
Took it easy.
Way to not rub it in completely because, you know, some people would be like, wow, Monday night?
I can't just...
grilling in a couple brewskis and some burgers? Wow.
Can't just have an afternoon bucket of golf balls, go home and grill burgers and drink beer on a Monday.
Okay. I guess you're right.
Can't have too much fun.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Too much fun, what's that mean, you know? What about you, Bob? Anything exciting?
No, we just decided to... We actually kept it simple. We went and got a pizza, just hung out on the patio because the night was nice, man. And we knew the rain was coming.
Pizza and burgers. You guys are living.
Yeah, it was good.
What'd you have?
Some leftover barbecue.
That doesn't sound too bad.
A barbecue sandwich. I don't know. I don't really like barbecue. I just kind of had some leftovers. Jealous. You guys are just living. I did start a new TV show. If you guys... Yeah, I was watching any of The Baby Reindeer on Netflix. You guys heard of it?
That sounds really familiar for some reason.
No, I have not even heard of it.
Yeah, it's creepy show. It's I think it's a British show. It seems very British. I assume it's British. And it's based off a true story, and it's the guy who created it, I think, is the lead actor in it, and it's about the stalker woman, the stalker.
Yeah.
And she always calls him her baby reindeer, so I guess that's why it's called that. But it's, I think you'd like it, Bob. You'd appreciate it. You're a appreciator of TV. So far, it's solid. It's prestige type of TV. It's got a nice little buzz right now of people talking about it. So I imagine you'll watch it in the next couple of weeks or so. It's just a limited series too, so I think it's just a one and done series, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Have you? Checked out The Sympathizer at all on Mm-mm. HBO?
No.
I only watched the first episode. I'm a couple behind now. I don't know. It was a slow start. I love Robert Downey, though. That was what led me to it. But
he doesn't really do much for me.
Yeah.
He's not a person that I'll go out of my way to check for, at least. And I've told you, it takes me I let a season get out before. Let's get a little buzz. Let's make sure season two is coming. Yeah. I'm tired of getting invested in shows and them getting canceled. So new shows, it's you got to be really, really tough and really, really good to get me to like in from the ground floor.
Well,
I take my time.
Yeah, it tells me something when I'm not racing to keep up with it. That's kind of my cue of, it's okay.
Now, did you keep watching your Walking Dead show?
It's over for now.
But did you make it through the end of the first season?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Is it going to get renewed or continued on?
Yeah, I think so. That's one I really kind of kick myself for continuing to buy into. It's like I have a couple friends who say that. It's like, seriously, why are you still watching that?
What the hell would those actors do if the show went away?
Yeah.
It'd be nice just to get in as a character and just get to do it for 10 years and collect paychecks.
On just a bad show.
I mean, at one point, The Walking Dead was a good show, Sam.
Well, yeah. I thought you were talking about.
Well, I don't know if the spinoff's any good or not. Yeah, I don't know if the spinoff's any good or not, but they're playing the same characters, obviously, as the first one. So just get to be those characters for like 15 years.
Keep
getting checks.
They're spending some serious money, as they say, putting money on the screen. I mean, it looks more, it's closer, like in terms of the scope of it and special effects and everything, it's closer to like feature film level now. But storyline's kind of dumb.
Speaking of spending money, NIL, college basketball, the transfer portal. Some updates coming up next.
Making a better buck of soda ain't...
Oh, the calm before the storm. You can talk about the rain falling right now or the transfer portal ahead of the college basketball season. But we had some updates yesterday, Bob, as the Tennessee transfer portal turns.
We sure did. Not long after we walked out of this studio, we had talked yesterday morning about again, all things indicating it's just administrative stuff keeping Igor Milicic from becoming a Vol. Well, they must have cleared that up because I think it was around 10:30 yesterday morning. We got news that our man Igor formally committed to Tennessee. So we got that one. True stretch four. I think Will Warren posted it. It was a good comparison, the closest comparison to any Vol that we've had in terms of that kind of role, whether it was a stretch four or a five that could shoot the three like Igor can apparently do, is one Wayne Chisholm. It's a nice comparison.
Okay, so Wheezy, reincarnate.
Yeah.
Reincarnate, reincarnated.
It's in terms, I think Will put it in terms of attempts for three-pointers. So, yeah, that was a nice one to see. And so that addition alone, right now the Bart Torvik rankings, his preseason ranking rosters, and he's staying close to it with the transfer portal information. He's ranking Tennessee's current roster as the seventh best nationally right now. So we had that conversation with Ryan Shumpert yesterday where we were talking about what do we think, you know, Tennessee nets out as, and we talked about a top 10 team, maybe ranked a little more in the teens, but so far the roster is getting rave reviews in terms of the transfers coming in, and they're not done, presumably. We're down now to Chaz Lanier watch. He's on the clock, but as we mentioned yesterday, that's probably going to take a little bit of time because he's the Tennessee coaches are supportive of this, but they're letting Chaz run his NBA draft evaluation process, get feedback from scouts, et cetera. Not too different than what they did last year with Triple J and Santee. But we may not get a formal commitment from Lanier. Might be, you know, could be a couple weeks. We'll just have to see.
Tennessee will be a top five roster if and when he commits. Tennessee's going to be in good shape. We've said that the last couple weeks. The roster going to look different, but the team is going to be talented and the pieces are going to be there. Igor, we kind of knew over the last week. We talked about it, just kind of waiting on some paperwork, waiting on some things to get finalized. It seemed that he had given Tennessee the heads up last week, like, hey, I'm coming. And they just had to figure out some things and get some things sorted out. And now he makes it official. Do we think he starts or comes off the bench next year? Sam?
I think he comes off the bench, honestly. To me, I feel like if you can get Lanier, that starting lineup is like Sakai, Lanier, Meshack, Dubar, and Akpara. And I feel like he's a great piece that comes off the bench for it. He just doesn't feel like he's got enough of the physical game. He definitely seems like more of that stretch four to be a bench guy.
I think Tennessee will have some lineup flexibility next year. I think you'll have 7-8 guys playing 20 minutes a game. You'll have a couple mainstays, and then you'll have the hot hands.
I agree. I think he's kind of – I see him in kind of that sixth starter role like we saw Meshack this year with that team. Different roles, but same kind of thing. Probably, you know, to John's point, he's a good 20-minute a guy game still, even if he's not starting. But there's also – kind of lesser name recruiting targets that are still out there. They're in the conversation. It feels like they're definitely looking for a backup point guard to support Zakai, which I think is probably a good move. The name that keeps popping up, we talked about this one briefly yesterday, Christian Anderson, who was a former Michigan commit. He decommitted, looking elsewhere now. He's a point guard, he's got a good lineage, comes from Oak Hill Academy. But he's he'd be a true freshman if he was coming in. A name we mentioned last week, Tucker Anderson, who has the ties to, his mom is Sheila Frost Anderson, former Lady Vol, plays at Central Arkansas. He, as it turns out, is not going to be coming to Tennessee. He has committed to Utah State. There's another name that just popped up I don't know much about. A guy by the name of Ben Hammond, who's another point guard that I think is slated for a visit later this week to Knoxville.
Okay.
So there's other names floating out there. Ryan Shumpert yesterday mentioned he called him the big man from Africa. He couldn't remember his name. His name's, I think, Devin Mabor. And he was supposed to visit Knoxville this weekend, but did not. So I'm not sure why that didn't happen, but it sounded like he's more of a project type player anyway. But these are all Anderson, Mabor, Hammond. Those are all like freshman recruits. So that all happened. And then just like that, after Igor's news came out, then the Vols that we used to love, as I call them, they came out with their news yesterday.
Yeah, you had Tobey Awaka end up at Arizona, and Jonas Adu decide he's staying in conference and going to Arkansas to play for Coach Calipari. Bob, what was your takeaway when you saw those two destinations become official for Adu and Awaka?
Well, I guess since we got that photo leaked of Tobey in the Phoenix airport, God, it was a couple weekends ago. Time's flying. That one, I guess, doesn't surprise me. Adu's surprised me a little bit. Because, I mean, he was also, supposedly had a passing conversation with Kentucky. It didn't sound like that one was going to materialize. But North Carolina was the one I kept wondering about if they were going to lure him in. I'm sure he got a good bag from Arkansas. I mean, that's the story. Their NIL money is significant. It's probably top of the heap at this point.
Sam, what were your thoughts when you saw Jonas to Arkansas?
Yeah. I think Jonas to Arkansas definitely hurt a little bit. I think we talked about that a little bit when he was officially entering the portal, and I thought that, you know, kind of any SEC team would hurt a little bit. Arkansas probably the least, honestly, but it still stings a little bit just kind of going back to Calipari and just kind of entering into that system. I would have just liked to go see him go to, like, Baylor, North Carolina, and not have to worry about him in conference, but now I'm kind of excited to play him a little bit, honestly.
This guy's been in my life for 16 years, and I still rotate between Calipari and Calipari.
Yeah.
I still don't know.
I don't know either.
He's been in my life at least since 2008.
Let's just call him Cal.
What did I just say there?
I think you went with Perry.
Okay.
I think I go Pari.
Calipari is what you said, Sam.
Nice.
I
go back and forth. So, like, I even change. I'll call him, you know, both names. I kind of just rotate just in case.
Keep them both happy.
Yeah, you know, if somebody's listening, like, this guy's an idiot. Then the next time they'll be like, oh, yeah, good job by him. Just – no consistency, but I don't know which one's right. And all these years later, I still don't know what's right. Like Bob said, maybe just go with Coach Cal. Sometimes I like saying Calipari. It's a name that flows off the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree with you in terms of, yeah, it's SEC, but I will say of the SEC schools, at least ones that are, you know, legitimate in basketball, this one probably hurts the least. And I there's probably a sick part of me that – you know, is glad he's in the SEC, so we'll have, like, a little bit of a extra boost whenever, like, Arkansas either comes to town or we go to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Game will matter a little bit more. I want to see how the boys respond. You know, the team's been pretty good on social media about supporting these guys. I haven't seen it, if it's the case, but, like, the screenshots I've seen, at least, because I'm not going on Instagram and checking all the comments and all the replies, but I'll see them get posted either in the Fan Run Discord or just on Twitter. See a lot of love from the players, but I haven't seen Zakai and Jamai doing the same thing that the other players are doing. Now, have they gone and done it and I've just missed it? Maybe. I'm not doing any Big J journalism work here. But I will say at least they're not the first to comment and reply saying we love you, best wishes, heart emojis, fire emojis. I haven't seen that from Jamai and Zakai, if that's the case, which gets me pretty excited if that's the case.
I kind of like that.
If they are doing it, keep it to yourself. Don't show me. I want to live in the reality where they're not doing that.
I got to say, when I saw this graphic that they put out, Joe Tipton did with Tobey in the Arizona uniform, that one kind of stung. I don't know why.
That one stung? I was going to say, that one just to me looks like, oh, yeah, the guy looks like he deserves to, looks like he belongs at Arizona, kind of.
Yeah.
It looks kind of natural. Awaka, you know, Awaka at least had the decency to go, you know, out of the region. Although I will say, don't think Arizona's closer to New York. The whole going closer to home thing didn't seem to be a thing at all. He's going further away. Now maybe he's getting such a bag that his parents can maybe even relocate to Arizona. I don't know, or at least hop on a plane and go see him from time to time. Maybe he's getting a big bag. Maybe Arizona had a real awakening whenever they got outbid for Ballo and had Indiana steal him. Maybe they're like, hey, what kind of program do we want to be here? Pony up. Give to your NIL. Let's go get some players. Maybe Awaka's reaping the benefits there. But, yeah, I thought he looks like an Arizona player. Awaka, rooting for a success. I know at times you said they're dead to you, Bob. Are you rooting against him or just don't care?
In Tobey's case, I don't think I care, just because, like we said earlier, they're the only time we might face them, at least on the foreseeable schedule, is in the tournament.
Boy, that would be something.
Yeah.
Sweet 16 game against Tobey, that'd be something.
Jonas, I feel differently. And you might have said this earlier. I'm presuming next year, because we played them in Fayetteville last season, we would play them here this coming season. So that make for great content for us. I mean, that part will be great. But
yeah, he's going to get booed.
Yeah.
He's going to get booed pretty loud.
Yeah, I would say so.
So you don't care about Tobey and you're rooting against Jonas just because he's in conference?
Yeah, I would say that's fair.
He also handled it more poorly.
I think so, too.
And he also hurt Rick Barnes.
Yeah, that's the big one.
He hurt Rick's feelings.
Mm-hmm. Don't hurt Rick's feelings.
And, I mean, he maybe cost you Tobey as well. I don't know if that's the case. I know that was kind of the speculation. It's like, hey, if Jonas had just hit the portal first, Tobey never would have. I don't know if I believe that after, you know, Jonas hits the portal and Tobey stays in there and then leaves. I don't know if I'm buying that. Or maybe he just got in there and the offers came and free agency started. And he's like, hey, this is kind of fun being courted. I like being wanted. Kind of the same way Calipari felt whenever he gets the phone call and it's the chicken man saying, hey, Coach Calipari, you want to come? We want to hire you to come to Arkansas. He's like, really? You guys want me? Because Kentucky fans, they hate me. And maybe he's just like, hey, yeah, it's nice to be wanted. Maybe that's how Awaka felt. Maybe that's how Adu felt. Who knows? It is nice to be recruited, I guess.
Arkansas's got some well-heeled money people, man, between Chicken Man and the Waltons and Jerry Jones, apparently. I mean, they're all leaning in on this with Cal.
To which, again, I'm pointing out Sam Pittman sitting over in the corner like, guys.
Squealing.
What the hell? Yes, sir. Do I need some money? Yes, sir. Are we broke? Yes, sir. Am I going to get fired? Yes, sir. How are you going to deal with getting fired? I'm going to drink a cold adult beverage.
They can't give him too much money because they got to save his buyout.
I guess that's the case. Although Sam Pittman seems like the type of coach that you'll see the headline of where he gives the buyout back. Yeah. And he tearfully says that he didn't deserve it because he didn't hold up his end of the bargain.
I love this university.
No, right.
No, you just keep that. I'm good.
Like that moron at Oregon State that did that. It's like, I'm just giving the buyout back. Or maybe he did it while he's at Utah State. But either way, the same coach. I don't deserve the buyout. Sam Pittman seems like that type. Any final thoughts on the Tennessee transfer portal updates?
No, we're later in the show. We're gonna break it down a little more with more about the way the new roster is starting to lay out. Get a little more of a statistical view with Jordan Moore, who helps us often. He's got some interesting stuff. I think it makes you feel a little better about what's happening. Again, I don't feel bad about it, but it's been so much change. I think we have to remember, at least on paper, we're stacking up to have a pretty damn good team next year.
Was the pun intended?
I don't know. I don't think I caught it.
Okay, I guess it wasn't intended then. You said you're going to talk more about it.
Oh.
Jordan Moore.
There we go, man.
You always got these segment names in the rundown. I didn't know if this was our interview was called Learn More About It.
That's a good one. That's a really good one, man. This is starting to click for you.
It is amazing how I'm able to come in here and just raw dog these mornings. Like, I can barely see. I can barely breathe with allergies. No caffeine in the mornings. A lesser man has to come in here with some coffee. Needing my coffee in the morning. Not me. Just straight water out of my Titans thermal here, and I'm just locked in. Locked and loaded. Energetic.
This time a month ago, you would have been like, oh, my brain doesn't work in the first hour.
You know, that's true. The fog is still there, but now the fog has shifted just to my eyes, like a literal fog. I can't see. I literally can't see. But the brain is sharp, just raw dogging off of water out of my nice Titans thermal that they sent me.
Should get you those blinders that, like, the horses wear for the Kentucky Derby this week. Just you in the show and those on.
I'd say more just like an eye patch.
Letting those creative juices come to you.
Just a pirate eye patch. I miss the days back on the farm where cows would have pink eye and you'd doctor them, and we'd always have to take like just an old pair of jeans and cut them out, and then you like super glue it to their eye, cover it up. I don't know why, but as a kid, I always liked that. The glue smelled good. I guess I was in there getting high. I don't know. But just the idea of just gluing old denim and old khaki to a cow's face, just,
you just made
it's kind of absurd. Yeah, it's kind of absurd, right? It's just
awesome.
Yeah, you wanted the medicine to stay in there. You don't want anything to get in it, so you had to cover it up. And I guess it eventually fell off, or maybe we had to get them back up and rip it off.
I was just going to say, poor cow, man. That had to hurt.
You know, I don't really know. I don't recall ever ripping them off, so I assume they just eventually fell off. But I don't know.
Ooh.
That, I liked cutting the horns off, getting blood all over you. Always felt like Stone Cold Steve Austin at the end of WrestleMania 13, just the blood covering my face. The horns are shooting everywhere. That was always cool. Warm. Primal.
Wow. Why would you take the horns off? Just
aesthetics. And you don't want the big aggressive ones to have them either in case they get aggressive. But
yeah.
for the cows, it's not usually it's not usually appealing if you're going to try to get them to be gentle and raise babies. And the warts, the big warts. Sometimes you have to cut the warts off of them, Sam.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And you'd put them in a gun and you'd feed it back to them. That's how you get the warts off. Like, I guess, just a little anecdotal. I kind of, when you get a flu shot, they put a little flu in you.
Right.
I guess it's a similar concept. But that one was always gross. I didn't like that one.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I didn't like that one. Castration was kind of fun, though.
That was like, what was that movie, World War Z? Were they?
I got to be honest. I don't remember anything about World War Z except them piling up the bodies as they're trying to climb up over the wall.
That was pretty cool.
And that they're very fast. That's all I remember.
But I think
that Brad Pitt's in it.
I think they solved it with, it was kind of like a flu shot, basically. They injected themselves, and that would make humans immune to the dead or whatever they
just
were.
A little pro-vaccine movie. Okay, I see you, Brad Pitt. Take your vaccines. I bet Angelina made him. Although Angelina probably seems like she'd be an anti-vaxxer for sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, not to get political, let's go to break. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the coach?
Last night we had some NBA playoffs. Two games that were pretty boring, and then one that was pretty damn good that played out into the same way that all of the Lakers and Nuggets games have seemed to play out over the last 2 years, where the Lakers have a lead. Then Denver overtakes them. However, this time Denver overtakes them, but the Lakers battle back. You know, early in the fourth quarter, I'm sitting there with a +7 and Nuggets go up 6, and I'm like, well, Here we go. Lakers about to let go of the rope. Season's about to be over. But no, the Lakers battled back. They kept hitting big shots. Ended up getting a lead, and it's down to crunch time, and it's back and forth. And final 2 minutes, the Nuggets just out-execute, just like they do everyone. A championship-level team that is able to make championship-level plays down the stretch. That was really the difference in that series and the difference in Game 5 as the Denver Nuggets send LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Lakers home, and maybe Darvin Ham to the unemployment line, as reports are now circulating that he might not be long for that world in L.A.
That's a good segue into Darvin Ham. I thought one of the real turning point calls, a lot of people felt that way, was the challenge at the end of towards the end of the game, that they won the challenge, Lakers did, but by Ham calling that challenge, they also lost their last time out, which would have been nice for them to have that time out after Murray hit the shot to put Denver up.
Yeah, but you had to challenge it.
I think so, too.
I'm not going to be hard on him. That's more about, I think you'll see the NBA rule change maybe, that if you win a challenge in the last couple minutes, you get your timeout back because, yeah, the Lakers needed a challenge, and they didn't have one. They didn't have a timeout because they had won a challenge on a, I don't want to say an obvious call, but it was one that shouldn't have been called. And, you know, he does challenge it, and it was a big play, and they get a block and a, you know, rebound versus, you know, Jokic shooting two free throws. It was a huge call. So I think Cam had to do it. But like you said, not having a timeout with the, you know, in the final couple minutes, especially in that last possession, was the difference in the game and maybe the difference in the season.
Yeah, that's a tough way to end for the Lakers. But it just feels like the parts I saw, we've been talking now for the past week or so about Denver's resiliency. I'm trying to think of who to liken them to as far as former NBA champs, and I can't help but think of the Spurs. It's that type of team. They're just sound, and they don't seem to get spooked, and you know, they got a hell of a series coming up in front of them now with Minnesota, but the thought of them having a chance to repeat, they didn't look like they were as good as they were in the last year in this regular season, but I don't know. I'm starting to believe in him. And Murray is just, God, man, so clutch. NBA history mentioned that Jamal Murray is the only player in what they call the play-by-play era, which started in 97, to score 2 game-winning field goals in the final 5 seconds of a playoff series. Pretty rare air there.
You said he's the only player to ever do that?
Yep. Like in the last, it looks like about the last 25, 26 years.
Yeah.
The play-by-play era must be, you know, how they document everything, you know.
I was going to say, I've never heard that referred to as an era, but yeah, I guess if you go through the old box scores or whatever, they'll break it down play-by-play. I guess that's what the era is being referred to. No, I mean, Murray was clutch. He's been clutch really since the bubble. You know, the bubble showed us a couple lies. COVID showed us a couple lies, but sports-wise, like, it was kind of the emergence of Jamal Murray, superstar, at least postseason killer. I don't know if you remember that first-round series that they had with the Jazz where him and Donovan Mitchell are just swapping out 40-point games, 50-point games. Like, Murray went to a different level in the bubble, and when healthy has done that pretty much every year since in the playoffs. I don't know if I think they're going to repeat. I kind of think Minnesota's got something for them just matchup-wise. When you look at, you know, their size and Anthony Edwards, I kind of like Minnesota's chances there. I'll probably still pick Denver, but I don't know. They seem to not be as much of killers as they were last year. But at least against the Lakers, whenever the chips were down and the game was on the line, they just made all the plays. But last night it kind of sucked because it felt like the Lakers were still making enough plays to win that game. LeBron, you know, not a great free throw shooter throughout his career, stepped up, went to the line, hit 2 free throws with 27 seconds left to tie it. And then, yeah, Murray just ends the game. I thought LeBron, you know, look, I don't want to be overly critical, you want to keep in mind the age, the you know, really just the unprecedented dominance for someone at this point in their career. But I got to be honest, I was a little lazy in the last couple minutes. I don't know if he ran out of gas. I don't know if he was just hoping someone else would make a play for him. But I thought he got beat to a couple loose balls, had a couple turnovers, or at least one turnover on a rebound where Jokic poked it away. I thought Aaron Gordon came up with a huge offensive rebound over him before Murray hit a three to go up one. I thought he got a little lazy. And maybe that was to go up two. Maybe that was when Murray hit the three to go up two. I thought they were a little lazy.
Yeah, his line was great, but I don't know. I do wonder, you know, everybody's wondering now, is that the last game in a Lakers uniform that we're going to see LeBron James in? That's I don't know. The other thing I noticed, too, was Anthony Davis, who, you know, 17 and 15, 8 for 11 from the field. Good line, but he also, you know, you saw the play where he got injured. He got kind of popped in the shoulder by, I think it might have been Michael Porter Jr., but it just feels like every game there's something with AD where he's hurt. And he did come back and play, but I don't know. It just seems to just a recurring theme there. And I just wonder if I'm LeBron, too, if I'm towards the end, if I'm like, oh, he would never say that, but maybe he wants to kind of separate from that. He tends to do that. He's got a history of doing that.
Yeah, on one hand, Anthony Davis helped bring him his fourth championship. On the other hand, like, it feels like we're always talking about him kind of getting let down by Anthony Davis. 8 for 11, 17 points. I mean, that's a good line for most players. I don't think it's a good line for Anthony Davis in an elimination game. And I don't think he had a field goal in the second half.
Yeah.
I don't think he scored in the second half.
D'Angelo Russell, every other game, man. 2 of 10 from three.
I thought Russell made at least a couple big plays in the second half to try to help, but yeah, like the overall numbers, 2 for 10. And like it just felt like him and you needed good games from D'Lo and Rui Hachimura, and I thought both those guys were pretty bad. Hachimura was terrible in the first half. I think it was 1 of 7 at halftime. So he ended up having a pretty good second half and coming through with a couple big dunks and played pretty well. But I thought that it's crazy. LeBron James, and look, the Nuggets are great. We'll have a chance to talk about the Nuggets throughout the playoffs because they're not eliminated. So, like, I hate when people are like, hey, you don't talk about the winners enough in sports. Well, the losers are more interesting because now their offseason begins and their future begins. But also, like, we got time to praise Jokic. They're not going anywhere. For the Lakers, it's crazy to me that in 2024, LeBron James was still by far the best player on that team. Like, that's not what was supposed to happen. When they traded their future to team up with Anthony Davis, the idea was that, like, hey, LeBron's going to pass the baton to this young star and let him kind of be the face that carries it, and LeBron will kind of morph into the sidekick. That never happened. Even in year, what, 21?
Yeah.
It still didn't happen where it was still LeBron's team and the team still went as far as he carried them. And I thought he ran out of gas a little bit last night and didn't make the hustle plays down the stretch that he needed to, whether it be get a rebound or protect the basketball. And really just like, you know, from basically the 3-minute mark down to the 1-minute mark, just it was the Austin Reeves show. And I'm like, how is this your plan right now, LeBron? It's a tie game. You got to try to do something. And he waited until, you know, they're down two with a minute left. And he drives to the basket, has a big left-handed shot in the lane, drives again, gets fouled, hits two free throws. So, like, he did have that burst for the end of the game offensively. But, you know, maybe 6 years ago, that's from the 3-minute mark on, he takes over and gets them to the finish line versus watching them kind of putter around for a bit.
If I'm a Lakers fan, the most painful thing you had to watch there was, and you've mentioned this guy before, but Torian Prince is the guy taking your shot at the end of the game. But it was out of necessity. They didn't have any time. But, I mean, he's throwing up something from half court. That's not the way you want it to end.
It's a bad feeling for Torian Prince, who went 0 for 5. Like, yeah. Hey, I went 0 for 5 and 0 for 3 from 3. But, hey, really it was 0 for 4 and 0 for 2. Like, that half court shot, yeah. Desperation. Let's not count that one, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Use some nuance, okay? Don't just read the box score. Come on, guys. I was 0 for 4. Not 0 for 5. Give me a break. But no, yeah, I mean, like, you knew it was over. You knew it was over when Murray had the ball. You knew he was going to score. Austin Reeves got cooked.
Yeah.
Got cooked. Wasn't anywhere near him.
And LeBron's one of the all-time, and I get it, he was pissed, but he's one of the all-time end-of-game, end-of-series hug-out guys, but he, like, just left the court. Didn't, you know, didn't go to Murray, didn't go to anybody. I get it, but it's still, it just, I don't, for some reason, it just felt like me, to me, like that's the end of the Laker era with LeBron.
They got some bad blood from last year, and the Nuggets, you know, celebration came a lot at LeBron's expense. Mike Malone takes shots at LeBron, you know, all offseason. So I kind of understand LeBron not wanting to go and hug it out. He didn't do the fake retirement this year. He just said, like, hey, I don't know what my future holds, which I think is actually true at this time. Like, yeah. Not so much like, hey, I'm going to retire, as much as like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be in L.A. Got to figure out where I'm going to be. Because if I want to win a championship, probably not going to be in L.A.
I like that Jalen Brunson guy.
Get me to New York. There's talks about going back to Cleveland. You know, maybe whoever drafts Bronny. Maybe, you know, there was talks at the trade deadline of the Warriors making a Hail Mary effort to team up Steph and LeBron at Golden State. Who knows? Who knows what the future holds? If I'm him, though, I'm looking at my sidekick, my guy that's supposed to be like my carrying the end of my career, and I'm saying, hey, it's nice from time to time when you take over, but man, like every second half of this series, it felt like you disappeared. It felt like you couldn't score enough in the second half when we had to have you. You know who wouldn't have got scored on by Jamal Murray? Alex Caruso. Should have kept Alex Caruso. I'll die on that hill. That was the end of LeBron winning championships when he lost Alex Caruso. Caruso would have had Jamal Murray and clamps the last 2 years. Nuggets move on. Celtics take a 3-1 lead. Thunder complete the sweep. There is your NBA recap. Any final thoughts on the night that was, Bob?
Just with the Celtics, we'll have to keep an eye on this, and stop me if you've heard this a time or two before, but Porzingis gets hurt.
Calf injury, right?
Yeah. They're going to examine that today, and it might not be that big of a deal, but
I think at first they were worried it was going to be a torn Achilles, but they said the Achilles is intact, so at least they could put that to bed. The good news for Boston is you probably don't need him to finish this series out against Miami. You probably don't need him next round against Cleveland and Orlando, but you are going to need him against the Knicks.
Oh, yeah.
Some weak calves in the NBA.
That's your takeaway?
Jamal Murray, Giannis, right? He has a calf injury.
Yeah.
That's true.
Porzingis.
Okay. I'm not arguing with your point.
Maybe get some stronger calves if you're running that much. I don't know.
Do we think that's it? Are you calling Giannis weak? Are you saying Giannis doesn't work out his calf? Because I feel like Giannis probably has really huge legs.
No, yeah, Giannis is tiny. He's small.
Okay.
I just think those guys are so finely tuned. You know what I mean? It's like guys like you and I don't have calf injuries like those guys do, even though they're in considerably better shape, but the risk gets higher.
I would say it's because all the running and jumping at a high level, Sam, more than the being strong enough.
Watch out for your calves a little bit better.
Yeah, calf day.
Mm-hmm.
Do better on it.
I'm going to write a hit piece about calf injuries in the NBA.
It always comes back to the farm. That's how I felt whenever the new little calves were born. Better watch after your calves. Drink White Claw Hard Seltzer. Drink it often and drink a lot of them. Responsibly, of course. We appreciate them for their support. If you haven't tried any of their new vodka, I'm telling you, try their vodka. It's good. It's good. I like the black cherry vodka. Mix it with a little Sprite Zero, and boom, you got you a nice little treat. Hour one of the books. We'll kick off hour two of some things you missed from yesterday. Then we'll talk to Jordan Moore. Stick with us.
White Claw is taking hard seltzer to new heights.